Hey everybody, this is Brian from Venture Bros or Corona Cartoons or whatever it is when you're downloading it. Just wanted to reach out really quick and say, sorry, I kind of fucked up and we lost Clerks the Animated Series Part 2. Not sure exactly what happened, something in the recording. I had 7 minutes of my audio and we had the full 42 minutes of Matt and Brock. And kind of hard to cut together an episode when we're missing an entire voice throughout the majority of it. So instead of re-recording and trying to rewatch and making a whole thing out of it, I decided to just go with a completely different show and talk to our very good friend Emily Blake about, drumroll, if you didn't look at the episode you downloaded, Rick and Morty, a show I never thought I'd watch, but it turned out to be a really good time and a really good episode. So sorry we're not getting Clerks Cartoons Part 2, but here you go, Rick and Morty. And of course, I preemptively apologize for playing Venture Brothers music right after saying Rick and Morty. Please do not find me or hurt me.
Real good.
I found a gift I like. What do you think?
You're very. That is a good one. I'll give you that. Is this a perfect way to start this episode? Are you ready?
It's going so great.
I'm just going to keep it all because why not? So hi, welcome to Corona Cartoons, formerly Venture Bros or of a Venture Bros podcast or however I'm phrasing it these days. I'm not even really trying with that. It's just Corona Cartoons. We are still all quarantined and we're still all trying to deal with that.
And right on cue, Chewy coughs.
I still have my cough, right? That's not going away.
Yep, this is great.
Nothing else is happening, but I got that cough.
Yeah, you know, we're all fine here. Kind of a reference to today and kind of Corona. we're still kind of bumming around our apartments or homes or whatever, and we're watching cartoons that make us feel better. And talking to friend of the ATH Network, former co-host of After the Hype, we have Miss Emily Blake on today.
Hello, everyone.
And then my wife, Chewy, is on.
Hello.
My dog is also here, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Hello, Obi-Wan.
Hi, Obi.
He's sitting in my lap. Being quiet for
once. Is he our only hope?
He might be.
I'd buy it.
A dog saving all of us? Yeah. I mean, it started with an animal. Why can't it end with an animal?
Right? There's your movie. It's kind of like Air Bud, but Corona version. Kind of bleak and still I'm kind of okay with it. But as I was saying, we're all coping with this thing with fun cartoons. And as anyone who's been listening to Venture Bros from the beginning has heard me say many, many times, I don't like Rick and Morty. I've never seen a whole episode. And who better to make me watch this show than who... I'm trying to remember how she pitched it on After the Hype. You did a lot of acid and watched all of it in one sitting?
Yes.
That it?
Yes. Yeah. I was dating someone at the time who came over and I'd never dropped acid before. And he was like, okay, well, I'm going to drop acid with you and then watch Rick and Morty. And yeah, we watched all three seasons in one day and while on acid. And it was pretty great. And I was like, this show's amazing. I don't fully understand what's going on, but I love it. And then like the next day I watched the episodes again sober.
So you could actually remember all of it.
Yeah, so I can know what's going on.
Either that was a great day or it was a lot of acid. I'm going to double check tomorrow.
Well, I was like, I know I like this episode. Like the first one I picked was the Gazorp Gazorp episode because like that's the first episode that I remember watching that day and going, oh my God, this is great. Like I liked the show. And then when I saw that episode, I was like, this is going to be my favorite episode. So... I saw a very fond reaction to that episode.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. I think the problem was I'm so stuck on if I don't like something after just a little bit, I'll really just like, oh, I got to come back to it.
Go ahead.
I did that with the pilot. I've tried to watch the pilot so many times and I just don't like it. It just doesn't work for me. And then after doing the episodes you recommended for us, I've now started with episode 2 and now I'm just going through the show and I'm really enjoying it.
Excellent.
But it took this whole experiment for today for me to even give the show a shot and now I'm actually enjoying
it. In the past, when you've had thoughts like that, I've had to like blackmail you into watching things. Yeah. I don't know.
I never would have watched Legion had you not bullied me into it.
Legion is so hard into watching Legion.
And then I loved it. It was a great show. Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah, no, they got me in Rick and Morty, like in the very first scene. He's sitting at the table with the family and he just goes, why don't, something about how people sleep at night. And he's like, nighttime is half of all time. And I don't know why I laughed so hard at that joke that I was just like, this show's great. And then from that point, and that was like scene one. So I, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Rick and Morty.
I'm never going back to that pilot though until I finished everything. All right. We did the same thing I did with like Venture Bros, where like the Secrets of Turtle Bay is just a fucking god-awful episode. It's the worst episode of the entirety of the entire show. So I never, like, I try not to watch it unless I'm doing, like, a full-blown rewatch. I'm going to treat the pilot to this show the same way. Like, it just didn't work for me, so I'm just going to stay away from it.
That's fair. I don't think there, for me, there is no bad episode of Rick and Morty. There are some that are better than others, but there's no episode that I'm like, man, I'll skip it. I love all of them. So when you asked me to pick, I was like, I don't know.
I have the thing where I don't really like Rick. I mean, I don't think you're supposed to like Rick. Yeah. He's just the worst person. The absolute worst. I love Jerry. If I had to choose a favorite character, I fucking love Jerry.
Jerry.
I mean,
I think that's the problem with a lot of Rick and Morty fans is they, a lot of the douchey fans don't realize that Rick is not a person you're supposed to admire.
No. If you admire Rick, you're a bad person.
I think that's true. But a lot of them are like, think Rick is a role model or something. I don't understand because you're smart
doesn't mean you get carte blanche on being terrible.
I mean, Rick hates himself. It's a recurring thing on the show that he fucking hates himself. And everyone else kind of hates him too. I mean, I think it's a big reflection of Dan Harmon's self-loathing. You know, that's kind of who Rick represents for him, is his own insecurities and his own kind of
that is potential, because people have called him a comic genius multiple times.
Yeah.
And I think if you asked him, he'd probably say funny. He'd probably say that Rick is his own self-loathing. I mean, all the times Rick has tried to commit suicide on the show. I think that's a lot of Dan Harmon sort of exorcising some of his demons.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I've always heard the show is really personal to him. And then even Brian, when he's been on our show, has mentioned like, yeah, working with Dan on this show is just nuts because he cares about it like an insane amount.
Yeah.
And don't they say sometimes that he doesn't really like a lot of his fans?
I don't want to speak for him. I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that, but who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's kind of dive into it. So I asked you, as somebody who went from not watching it to full blown loving it in the course of 2 days.
I saw it twice in 2 days.
Yeah. To pick, I told you what, like 2 to 3 episodes?
I ended up picking four.
Yeah, well, you kind of picked four. You did like 3.5. Yeah. Like three and a.
I did three, homework. But the third one required some like explanation. So I suggested watching a different episode to prepare.
I think it still would have worked and been funny without it, but I'm glad that I did it. But yeah, so you picked, what are the episodes you gave to us?
The first one is, I don't remember the full name of the Gazorp Gazorp episode. It's something, something Gazorp Gazorp. And then Morty Night Run and Rick Lantis Mix Up were my choices, but I think you also watched Close Rick Counters of the Rick Kind, which I also, two of those are season one. One is a season two and the last one is season three. The Gazorp Gazorp I love because it's actually feminist, which is interesting. It's sort of about gender politics and the reason I wanted to do Morty Night Run is because I feel like this one wasn't conventional, because it wasn't Rick and Morty, it was Rick and Summer. Morty has found a sex robot on an alien planet and he fucks it, and then it gets pregnant with a baby monster. And so Morty becomes a dad and has to raise an alien that grows into adulthood in like one day. And then he realizes how hard it is to be a parent and he does everything wrong. And then meanwhile, Rick and Summer, Morty's sister, go to the alien planet to find like where their sex robot comes from. And they discover that all the men in this alien culture all live on another place together. And all they do is fuck and be violent. And meanwhile, they go to where the women live, and the women are all just like really, they got their shit together. Everything's great, but they don't tolerate men because men are the worst. And it's voiced, two of the major characters there are voiced by Claudia Black and Virginia Hay, who were stars of Farscape, which also endeared me because I love Farscape so much. As soon as I heard their voices, I was like, holy shit, even as high as I was like, oh, it's Virginia Hay, Claudia Black, oh my God. And it's just, it's all about the genders and it's just, they make a lot of jokes that are kind of making fun of women, but in a delightful, like, endearing way. And then they make fun of how men are just stupid and violent. And it's also kind of endearing. It's, you know, it's great. That's Gazorp Gazorp.
Gazorp Gazorp.
Gazorped. Gazorped.
Is the Gazorp the species? I don't remember.
Yeah, they're from the planet Gazorp Gazorp. And then the second episode I picked was Morty Night Run. And I picked it because it's like the most standard Rick and Morty episode I could think of, but also has Jemaine Clement in it. So they go to an alien planet where they're just going to try to play some games and stuff. But first Rick sells this like anti-matter weapon to an alien bounty hunter, and he's going to use it to murder somebody. And Morty is like horrified by that. So he goes and murders the bounty hunter accidentally and then saves the alien creature, which is named Fart because it's just a gas. And it's played by Jermaine Clement. And they become really good friends. But then in the process of trying to save Fart, Morty like murders like a fuck ton of people. And in the end, he realizes that that Fart is actually very dangerous and he has to take him out. So like all these people died for nothing. So the whole episode is so fucking depressing. But still funny, because that's what Rick and Morty does. It's depressing but funny. And then I'm spoiling all these. Is that okay?
That's encouraged.
You know. Yeah. Okay. Close Rick Counters of the Rick Kind, which is where we saw the Citadel for the first time, which is where, because since it's multiple universes. So it's like a multiverse full of Ricks and Mortys, infinite universes. And so some of them have gotten together and created a citadel with a council. And so everyone in this world is Rick or Morty. And then that was so you could be prepared to watch the Rick Lantis mix-up, which is misleading because you're meant to think it's like they're going to the city of Atlantis, but actually we go to the Citadel and do a whole episode about how shitty the Citadel is. And everyone there is a Rick or a Morty, and a Morty like becomes put in charge of it, and everything is depressing and dark. And I love that episode so much because it just like, I think about it a lot, actually. I think about what's going to happen next and like what it all means. And yeah, so there you go. Those are the episodes I picked.
It was kind of an interesting first go at it. Like, it reminded me of when somebody finally got me to watch It's Always Sunny. They had me start with the Dennis and Dee on Welfare episode. It's like, it's funny, but it's not like any of the other episodes. And that's kind of what we started on here. And that was the one episode I wasn't a huge fan of.
Which one's that?
The Gazork Resort.
Ah, okay.
That, for some reason, like I'm watching it, I'm just like, this is a well-made episode. And like my critiques are really bland because it's just like I'm watching the whole thing and just nothing really grabbed me. I wasn't really laughing. I'm like, I see where the jokes are. It's kind of a good time. I like the father-son stuff the most, but not really enough to like, if I had just turned this one on and we hadn't been doing this episode, I probably would have finished it, but I don't think I would have kept watching another one.
Yeah.
The other ones that you had me watch, I enjoyed more and more as we went on. Like by the time we got to the final one, I was loving it. So I'm interested now that I'm going back through it, when I get back around to Gazorp, I think I might like it more. But I think just diving into it, it just hit me the wrong way. Kind of like not as bad as the pilot did, but similarly.
For me, I enjoy the episode. It is funny, but it wasn't like groundbreaking to me on a personal level, just because I've seen things that I'm like, oh, they're referencing this, they're referencing that. And for me, it made me think of multiple episodes of Futurama. Specifically, not Futurama, but the movie Amazon Women on the Moon.
Oh.
Also actually some Queen Kong, because Queen Kong does a lot of super feminist stuff, but also like over the top feminist, where they're like, are you making fun or celebrating this? I can't tell.
I fucking love Queen Kong.
Yeah. So I enjoyed all of that. I personally, my favorite part of it was, what do they say? I'm here if you need to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a version of hello? Like, that's cute. And the if you think it's cute, you cannot execute.
Yeah, yeah. My top is cute. You cannot execute.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
This shirt was made by Mark Jacobs. Mark Jacob. Those are names of the penis.
Yeah. So I appreciated the overtopness of all of it. It didn't strike me quite as heavily, I suppose.
That's fair. I think Rick and Morty has this reputation of being for dude bros. And I think a lot of people think it's just for like asshole, you know, incel types. And I think that episode to me proves it's like, nope, actually, there's a whole episode about feminism in here that's I think really funny. And I don't know, I love the jokes that are making fun of gender. Like they're making fun of the stereotype of women where they're just like, no one here farts. By the way, I had no idea when I picked all these episodes that all four of them include fart jokes.
Was a lot of fart jokes.
Yeah, now that you're mentioning it, I haven't encountered as many fart jokes while going through the show as I did when we did these four episodes.
I happen to pick like four episodes that feature fart jokes prominently without even realizing it.
So. Are you aware that you're such a fan of fart jokes?
I usually hate fart jokes.
Dude,
so
I've had
this is, like, very surprised.
Conversations with people about how everyone genuinely finds poop and farts to be funny, whether or not they admit it. It is the lowest grade of humor because it is so universal.
I am not above a good fart joke. That's all I'm saying. Or a well-timed fart is just as good as a good fart joke. Just, you know. So maybe I am a good...
Maybe you would like my boss at work. He just comes up sometimes and just starts farting.
Delightful.
That guy sounds like an asshole.
Billy, I appreciate you. You pay our bills.
I just had to get a good butt joke in there. Remind me again. What was the second one? The second one was
Morty Night Run. That's the one where they pick up Jemaine Clement, the fart. Speaking of farts.
Yes.
His name is Fart. And like they murder so many people trying to save Fart. It's amazing. And Morty's
Fart's
just so
smart.
Fucking horrified.
Yeah.
Fart's like, if I just manipulate this one guy to get jealous of his friend and his wife, then all these people will die.
Which is a thing that happens. There's another episode where it's complicated, but there's basically an AI that's trying to protect Summer. And Summer tells the AI it's not allowed to kill anyone. So it's just like, it creates a fake clone of this dude's dead kid. And it's like, hey, daddy. And then it disintegrates in his arms. And then it's like, all of you have loved ones. All can be returned and taken away again. And then it's just like, holy shit. So that's kind of that's a little bit the same thing that Fart did, where it was just like, this girl is, you're jealous because your best friend's fucking your wife. Your life is meaningless. And then the guy just starts to murder everyone. A lot of psychological torture on this show.
That's true.
But the fact it was done with Jermaine's voice made it just
so buttery.
Just wonderful.
I like this name, Fart. Let me tell you guys, for those of you who haven't seen it, there is a whole episode, there's a whole section in the episode where Fart just sings this song, Goodbye, Moon Man. And it's all like weird psychedelic shit. And I've got to tell you, if you're on acid and you watch that Moon Man song, you are going to have a really good time. Very colorful.
The thing we haven't really mentioned with this episode that I think this is my turning point for the whole show was the Jerry daycare.
Mm.
That was in the next one.
I had to make sure it was Morty Night Run. I looked it up.
Because that's where they drop him off while they're going to do their stuff.
I couldn't remember if it was this one or was the next one. But yeah, so for me, that joke was so fucking good that it just... Every time they went back to it, I was laughing out loud, and I don't know if it's just the actor. Oh, I'm blanking on his name.
Chris Parnell.
Chris Parnell. Yeah, Dr. Spaceman.
Dr. Spaceman.
I don't know if it's just his performance or just having 1,000 of him in one room is what made me laugh so hard. But I loved the whatever our Jerry, the normal Jerry, the main Jerry, whatever we're gonna call him. I loved him just being like, no, I don't want to do this. Oh, here, let me help. Oh, okay. And then just him getting sucked into every scenario while just being defiant, compliant, and then just one of the Jerrys. It was just
What's great about Jerry is he is like the most mundane human being on earth. And so like next to, he really shows like Rick's personality because Jerry is like the anti-Rick. Jerry is so boring by comparison. And that's what's great to make fun of Jerry, because he's just so like, he's so convinced that he's like, I'm going to stand up for myself. And it always ends up falling. It happens a lot. Jerry's constantly like, oh, I'm not tolerating this anymore. And then by the end of the episode, Jerry's just back to being a sucker.
So that's why I liked the other episode with Jerry so much. When he gets the nice Rick, yeah, or the doofus Rick, doofus, or whatever, yeah, they call doofus him. Rick. And he goes, you know, I can't tell you whether or not these will ever increase in value or not, but what matters is that you like them. And then just Jerry just welling up and hugging him.
Because everyone's so mean to Jerry all the time.
I'm like, aww.
But that's where I like the Jerry daycare. They weren't mean to Jerry. Jerry like, daycare is like the perfect place for Jerry. When he's like, how do I get out of here? And she's like, that tunnel. And he's like, bah!
He ends up in a bullpen. I go to Jerry daycare.
Then he tries
daycare
to leave and she's like, you could have left the whole time. Because he's trying to be defiant.
When he comes back and the thing is, like, it's not horrifying out there, or it's not, like, scary, or, like, what are we're lost, we're on a different planet. It's, like, it's a hassle out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Interpretation.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, that, the Jerry daycare really won me over,
yeah,
for mm-hmm everything. And that kind of, that's why I want to go back to the first one again, because I just was, I think I was still just coming in, like, I don't like you, Rick and Morty.
That's what's cool. What's... One of my favorite things is the knowledge that that's not actually Morty's Jerry. The Rick and Morty that we follow came from a different timeline and just kind of stole this one because they fuck theirs up so bad. That happens in, like, I don't know, episode 3 or 4. In fact, Gazorp Gazorp is the first episode after that happens. So maybe that's one of the reasons they wanted to do that episode next, is like this, just to see if this is like our real... Is this the same summer? Because it's not. That summer is not actually Morty's sister, and that Rick is not, or that Jerry is not actually Morty's dad. Interesting.
Trade out the sister at one point too.
No. Rick and Morty fucked up their timeline, so there was no. It was fucked up beyond all repair. So they went to a different timeline where right at the moment where Rick and Morty in that timeline had just died, and they buried them in the backyard and took their place. That happened on the show. So from now on, like, the audience is aware that this Rick and Morty does not actually belong to this timeline. They stole it.
They adopted it.
Yeah, they adopted it.
Adopted.
They do go back and revisit their previous timeline at one point, and it's pretty great. And you actually see, because they turned everyone into Cronenbergs, and at one point you actually see a Cronenberg Rick and Morty in the close Rick counters of the Rick kind in the background. You're like, oh, there they are. That's the Rick and Morty from their timeline. It's a whole thing. I'm probably getting into the weeds a little bit, but I just love that.
There's a lot of details to the show.
In the backyard, yeah.
As we've always been told.
Yeah. And they don't forget. What I like is they don't forget their mythology. I think on a lot of shows, when things change later on, they just forget that it happened, you know? And I like that on Rick and Morty, they never forget shit that happened. It comes back around.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's interesting. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I'm not deep enough into it to really appreciate that. But you know, as a former Venture Bros podcast host, yeah, we really like that stuff over there. kind of obsessive over it.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear obsessive? Oh my god, I've mentioned this to friend of the show Brian, who directed some episodes of Rick and Morty. The clock in the garage is almost always at 2 o'clock, except for 4 times. It has not been 2 o'clock in the garage. And I have no idea why it is not 2 o'clock those 4 times. I get why it would be 2 o'clock all the time. I don't get why 4 times for no story reason whatsoever it has not been 2 o'clock. So, yeah.
Why is it always 2 o'clock?
I don't know. I want to know.
What did Brian say?
He didn't know either. And he asked me to tell him the names of the episodes and he'd ask about them and I just never got around to it. But I wrote them down.
Those are questions you'd only get from a script soup.
I can't help it. Well, because I automatically see all clocks anytime there's a clock on the screen.
Dude, when I was on smaller features, many times script soups would be like, can you just not have a clock in this room?
Oh my God, I've said that so many times. Please, please get rid of the clock.
I also love that you're demanding to know the answer And then you're like, ah, that was an aspirant. But then I didn't.
Yeah, I forgot. I wrote them down and I just never got back to him about it. But I really do want to know because it does drive me crazy every time I watch an episode because there are four occasions where, and there's even one time where in the episode itself, it is 2 o'clock and then we cut to a flashback scene where it's not 2 o'clock. And I'm like, why within this episode is it suddenly not 2 o'clock when it's 2 o'clock? And anyway, it's a whole thing. So, yeah.
It's 2 o'clock somewhere.
Well, I always thought if I started a Rick and Morty, Brian about it, let us know.
Okay, I always thought if I were ever to start like a Rick and Morty podcast, I would just call it "It's Always 2 o'clock in the Garage."
Oh, that's pretty funny. Good. That's, yeah, a good, I like one. That. I like that. Mm-hmm. Except 4 times when it isn't.
Yeah, except the 4 times when it isn't.
That's a really long title.
Again, it was called Venture Bros, a Venture Brothers podcast. I'm into long titles. You get the whole show in a long title. Yeah. Go back to the Clerks cartoons episodes we did last week. Those titles are like a paragraph. But not in a good way. Anyhow, so the other episode that you recommended was, that was the Rick Lantis mix-up?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
I love that. That's my favorite.
Why is this one your favorite? Because I really enjoyed it, but like, and I enjoyed going back to the one before it, so we at least knew the reference. But I'm not sure if it, like, the gravity of it, like, it's one of those things where I'm watching it and I'm just like, I can feel that this is important, but I don't understand why.
Maybe you have to watch the whole show to really feel it. I don't know. To really have, by the point you get, because it's toward the end of season 3. So by the time you get to this episode, you've really been with Rick and Morty a while and you've understood how much Rick fucking hates himself. And this is a whole citadel full of Ricks that hate themselves. And it's full of a whole citadel full of Mortys who just kind of do whatever Rick says and have been completely demoralized. So combining like all of those characters on both sides. And I'm so maybe it's a whole like you have to watch the whole series to really get into it. Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I feel like finding out that the Morty was that same evil eye patch Morty, which you got that right. You saw that at the end.
Yeah. I kind of guessed it after you had us watch these two that was going to be the thing.
I didn't know that until, because obviously I didn't, you know, I watched it just when it came on and then, or when, actually I watched it when I was really high. I watched, and that helped too. I watched the whole series in a day. But for me, it hit me when you see the photograph go by and you realize that was Eye Patch Maureen, you're like, oh shit, that evil like psychotic dude is now running the Citadel. So you think like, oh, change is coming, it's for the good, and then you're like, oh no, it's not. And I think it says that episode says a lot about, I mean, it's commentary on sort of the haves and the have-nots, because they're all Ricks. Everybody, all the Ricks are Ricks. They're all the smartest man in the universe. They're all the same guy, but some of them are working stiffs and some of them are millionaires, and there's really nothing to distinguish one from the other than just the personality they've taken on or what's happened to them. And it's sort of like our own society, like what separates the millionaires from us, how they're born, you know, or just one choice they made, or who knows, you know, how they all got there. And it's sort of a pretty fucked up, and the way the Mortys are treated is really horrible. But then that one Morty realizes in order to, like, he has to be a cop, but he doesn't really even want to be. But he's trying to be someone he's not. It's just, I think about it a lot because I don't even necessarily understand everything. And I like that episode because I think about it, because it makes me have to be like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? You know, and I want to know what's going to happen the next episode that they go to the Citadel. I really want to know how that, I mean, I know at the end they're like, that's never going to have anything to do with us ever again. But I feel like it probably will, because it's an interesting story to follow. And I don't know.
And it's a whole citadel of themselves. Like,
yeah.
How can you not run into them again?
Yeah.
It was by far the most interesting episode that you had us watch. Like, it was the, it's the one that kind of stuck with me the most of just like, I think the reason that I'm still, that I actually started going back through the show now after the falling in love with the whole Jerry stuff was the story in this one made me go, I want to see what all of this is about. Because I didn't really, I never grabbed onto the whole arc of Rick and Morty. I just kind of like, okay, I get the gag of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And I get why it's funny. It just doesn't seem like it's for me. But this story and just like this world in this episode is what made me go like, okay, that's much more my speed than I thought it was.
Yeah. I think I think when you watch it all, because I think the trajectory of what happens with Rick and Morty, in the beginning you think Morty's just Rick is just kind of an asshole, but he's a funny asshole. And then as the show goes on, you're like, he's also just like just a fucking asshole, and he uses people and he's kind of mean. And then there's an episode where he fails to kill himself because he's too drunk to actually do it successfully. He passes out in the middle of trying to kill himself, and that's the only reason he doesn't succeed. And then you're like, oh, I think your perspective, maybe I should have given you that episode. I didn't want to give you all depression all the time, but I think at that moment you sort of just kind of change how you see Rick. Like, he's so sad in a way, but it's also like, it's a sadness of his own making, and it really adds depth to the character and to the show.
I think of Rick, I just think of a chaotic nihilist. Yeah. Where there were not, like, it's one of the reasons why I don't really like nihilists, and I also don't like anarchists, because they're so selfish in their angst. They're all like, I am the most like intelligent, and I set myself apart from all of you because I really know the darkness in the world, so I must be free to just create more darkness. And that's how the feeling I get from people like that. And that's just what Rick is to me.
Well, a lot of that does come with self-hating, though. So yeah. That does fit for Rick.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, like, he's the smartest man in the universe, and he uses it for self-aggrandizement and to be cruel and all of that. Whereas, like, the doctor is the smartest man in the universe, smartest woman in the universe now, and uses it to help people. You know, it's just like you can make a choice of how you want to live. And one of them is happier than the other.
Yeah, you could be a chaotic optimist, or you can be a chaotic nihilist.
Yeah.
That's why Rick is the opposite of the doctor.
Yeah.
So, not knowing basically anything beyond the show of the episodes we watched for today, and then a few more into season one, the question I think I've always had the most of this, of Rick hates pretty much everything. Does he care about Morty?
Sometimes. In each Rick is different. Sometimes our Rick... Like, our Rick, there's been a couple times when it's been tested. Because some episodes, you're not sure which Rick we're talking about. It may not... The Rick we follow is C-137, I think. I might have that wrong.
Yeah, that sounds
right.
But sometimes it's not C-137. Sometimes it's a different Rick. If the world seems a little weirder than usual, it's probably because we're just looking at a different Rick and Morty story. Like, they can kill Morty because that's a different Rick. But when we go back to our Rick and Morty, so sometimes Rick don't give a shit. Sometimes he pretends not to give a shit. There have been a couple of times where our Rick has expressed that he actually does give a shit about his grandkids. He's pretending not to. And sometimes he even admits he cares about them. You know, what usually happens is he'll be tested and someone will be like, aha, you do love them. And he'll be like, I just pretended so that I could get you to let down your guard, blah, blah, blah. But I think in reality, we know he does care. He doesn't, because he does do some nice things sometimes. It's really not enough, but it's for him. He thinks he's being really magnanimous in that moment when he'll, like, he paid Morty a compliment at the end of the episode that you guys watched, the Close Rick Counters of the Rick Kind, where he was just like, Morty was pissed because he was like, you've been mean to me. And Rick was like, hey, I'm the Rickiest Rick. And if I'm the Rickiest Rick, you're the Mortiest Morty. And Morty's like, I'm the Mortiest Morty. As if Rick just paid him a big old compliment. It's such an abusive relationship. But he was trying to make Morty feel better in that moment. And he doesn't really know how. So that's, or he refuses to do what he thinks will help him. I don't know, because he thinks it's weakness, I guess. But I think he does care in his own way.
Well, that's just another classic case of a person who hates themselves or a nihilist or whatnot, where it's like, you can't, if you show that you care about something, it can be viewed as a weakness. So you can't really do that.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those things that always kind of bothered me. I'm going to keep bringing it back to Venture Brothers because this happens a lot in my head. But it's always bothered me with that. Like, does Rusty ever actually care about his boys? And it was a show that it always kind of bothered me while watching Venture Brothers and throughout my rewatch for the series that we just finished. I got an answer and I really liked that. And when I started watching Rick and Morty just for this past week, or a couple of days, that was the question that started bugging me the most. And like, I do remember the Rickest Rick and Mortiest Morty. I'm like, okay, so there's maybe something there. I just didn't know if it was something that is ever more definitively answered. And I was guessing no, but.
Yeah, there is a time when he actually says, when he's having a good day and he hasn't had any responsibility for a while and he just goes, love my grandkids. And there's another, I mean, this is how rare it happens though. Like that's the best it gets. And there is another episode where someone does put a gun to Morty's head, I think, or is it Summer's head? I forget who, and he actually like really does. Oh, it's Morty. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. There's an episode where they go to a spa and all of their like bad vibes are sucked out of them and become sentient. So it's like the good versions of them versus the bad versions of them. Not even good versus bad. It's more like the things they like about themselves versus the things they hate about themselves. And in that version, like, he does admit that, like, the thing that was one of the things that was sucked out of him was how much he cares about about Morty, because he was just like, I think it's a weakness. So it got sucked out of me.
Oh, like, the part I just of me said.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, that all lined up well.
I read that. Yeah.
I forgot about that, but yeah. So there are moments, you know, where they show us that he does care about Morty. And he definitely cares about Beth, but he's a narcissist. So Beth, his daughter, he cares about Beth and though, cause I guess we didn't really have a lot of Beth in these episodes, but he fucking loves Beth, but he loves her in a way that a narcissist loves. He gets angry cause she got pregnant in high school and he's just like, my daughter, you know, my daughter could have been more, she could, you know, she was my kid. He says that a few times.
Blame Jerry for everything with that.
Yeah. That Jerry destroyed his legacy, you know. So it's a very narcissistic view of love, but he does care about her.
And it's also, Jerry. Both the kids are older now. They can take care of themselves, technically. She could definitely go off and do something more. She must
have They do actually, at the end of season two. I don't know. There definitely was an episode where they actually kind of toyed with that idea. And I don't know if we've ever seen the end result of that yet. I don't know if they're going to come back to that or not. At one point he proposes to her that if she wants, he can make a clone of her, a robot clone of her, and she can just go off and live her life and no one will ever know she was gone. And we never see what she decides, but later on she's like, wait a minute, am I a robot? Am I a clone? And he's just like, no, of course you're not, but is she? So, you know.
Yeah, we wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
That's
just
a good question.
Be you.
Yeah.
Just live your life.
And that's going to be the future. Give us 50 years.
Or who was it? Somebody just said, like, we're already there. You don't know. Oh, it was like Gabe Newell, like the guy from Valve, is like, you don't know how close we are to the Matrix, man. Cool. Thanks, dude. Thanks for Half-Life 3, fuckface. I think that's all I really had to talk about with Rick and Morty today. All
right.
Was there any other, like, final thoughts that you wanted us to leave with as non-Rick and Morty people? Although I feel like I'm slowly going to enjoy the hell out of the show as I watch it.
I just think it's got.
I've always been more anti Rick and Morty fandom than I have the actual show.
Yeah.
I mean, the main reason I never continued with the show was because I got so turned off by finding out someone got stabbed over Szechuan sauce.
Oh my God.
I was just like, that I don't think so I want to be part of this.
Yeah.
Other than that, I enjoyed the first season when I watched it. Mostly I enjoyed it for the references to Freddy Krueger. Have you gotten to those yet?
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah. That whole, like, the whole Szechuan. And the thing is, the whole Szechuan sauce speech that he gives is what people are forgetting is, like, the reason that he got into the predicament that leads to the Szechuan sauce thing is because he's a selfish asshole and he almost destroyed his family. And he put the whole earth in danger, you know? And so at the end of it, he's just like talking about Szechuan sauce because he's being a fucking douche. And so people repeat that speech and it's like, yeah, you guys, it's not, Rick's not being a hero right there.
You don't
That's
get
not
it.
Like, that's, you know, they do that all the time. They keep holding Rick up like he's some kind of like, he's so smart and he hates himself. He tries to kill himself. He intentionally separates himself from everyone. Like, it's not even hidden. It's not even subtle. People regularly remind him about how he's alone because he's been a dick you know?
It's just that thing where a lot of people who actually feel that way in real life, when they see an example of it in media and they feel that it is being celebrated in some manner, they will attach themselves to it desperately because it vindicates them of their own emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Well said.
Kind of freaky to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
that's why when people go down the thing about how art is dangerous at times,
yeah.
You don't know how it's going to be interpreted.
Yeah. But I love the show. I love every episode. I've watched it over and over. I've seen all the comments. I don't love the special features on the Blu-ray because it's a lot of... Okay. The third season, they brought some women onto the show. Seasons one and two, they had no women anywhere. And yeah, you can tell with all the special features and the commentary on some of the episodes. It's like, I really wish you guys had a woman in your writer's room. And finally, in season three, they did bring in some women. So it definitely helps. But
it definitely helps more when it's plural.
Yes.
If it's just the one, then they just point at her and she's just like,
We hired girl. Girl sits over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but they've done better now. There are a couple of commentaries where they were like, I tried to hire women. Nobody wanted to be on our show. I called every woman I know. And it's like, that's...
Oh, I remember that.
You got to call women you don't know, dude. Yeah. You know?
Because the women you know might know too much and not want to work with
or
you.
Or like, how many women do you know, actually? You know,
call every woman I know. How many women do you know? I know my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
She was busy.
And his sister-in-law.
But lo and behold, when they tried, they found some good ones. So, yeah.
You were out there.
Yeah.
In the bushes, hiding.
But season four has aired like five episodes and then just stopped. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know why the episodes just were shot and then or released and then nothing in the middle of a season. But it'll come back someday. That's kind of how the show is. It like,
yeah,
you know, you wait like a year and a half and then the episodes just appear and then they go away again.
Just wait 4 years and then you'll know what it's like, Emily.
Yeah.
How long are we on with the current one?
We're only on year two. This
year
is nothing.
Year two? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're at year two yet.
With Venture Bros.
Yeah, no, we're not even at year two. We're just about done with year one.
Oh, wow.
We've got time.
Yeah, we got time.
Season eight, we got like I'm guessing 2021, maybe if we're lucky, probably 22.
Yeah, that's the thing my then boyfriend was saying. When we moved from the end of season two to season three, he was like, you don't understand how long I waited to find out what happened next. And you're just rolling right into it right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, yep, that's how binging works.
Yep, that is how binging works. I'm sorry.
And all the Venture Brothers fans, when Rick and Morty fans are doing that, are like, you don't understand.
Yeah. And Doctor Who fans are like, fuck you, you don't understand.
Yeah. I'll give y'all the same face I gave everyone who goes, they can't... negate student debt. I paid mine. Like, oh, okay. Good for you.
Yeah.
You're having a good
time. Let's just keep this problem going.
Yeah. Hey. I suffered. You should suffer.
But yeah, so at the end of all this, I will say thanks. I'm really glad that I finally sat down and watched this show because
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you liked it and I'm glad you saw it.
I'm very glad that I'm watching it now and I'm going through it and I'm having a good time. It's not Venture Brothers, but the fuck is?
Nothing is.
There's only Venture Brothers. sorry, we were formerly a Venture Brothers podcast. I'm quite a fan of that.
Yeah. He is biased. Brian will talk about Venture Brothers the same way that I talk about Books of Magic when it comes to Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little nuts.
Hey guys. You know, this was first. Does anyone else care? Does anyone else care?
Nope. What about Brick Frog? Brick Frog. No one?
Yeah.
Damn. I don't know what's happening right now. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You should read Books of Magic.
You should watch Venture Brothers.
And we will continue to watch Rick and Morty.
I'm going to finish Rick and Morty now because what the hell else am I going to do because of the quarantine?
Well, I've spoiled a bunch of it, but I don't think it matters.
Continue being told what to do all day long by Corin.
That's very true. That's we're going to watch Singing Cats and Singing Cats and Singing Cats.
And then we're going to go play outside.
And then watch Singing Cats and Singing
And then I'm
going
to try to go to the bathroom.
While watching Singing Cats.
And Corin's going to bang on the door the whole time.
Yeah, quarantining is fun with a toddler. We're going to move into plugs now. So this is Monday. So tomorrow, I believe you will have a new episode of Samwise out. You should. I'm not sure where Sam's at since she moved. Her life is all new and
she just gets to her new job, and the new job says, work from home.
I'm here. Get out of here. So yeah, you should have Samwise, and then you'll have Demon Days on Wednesday. Then we have Behind the Hype on Thursday, which is starting our new month of Scarlett Johansson. And then on Friday, you have Damage Boost. And then anything else you want to read, you can find at athpod.com, where we're having some pandemic picks that I believe, Emily, you wrote one of them, right?
Yeah, I just did one. Mine dropped to the day we're recording this on Mating Heaven of the Earthbound Human, which is one of my favorite terrible movies. I fucking love it. So I was glad to be able to recommend it to people.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it.
It's starring Carmen Electra. So
it is. And it's a goddamn masterpiece.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Movie is
sentient sperm.
Fucking hilarious.
So what you're saying is that we need to rewatch Virtuosities so I can write an article about it.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying you need to watch Mating Habits of the Earthbound Human. Oh,
okay. Yes, okay.
It'll teach you about procreation. It's too late for you guys, but, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not procreation. That little sperm contraception.
He made it
over
the bar.
Teach you about contraception.
He landed on the mat. He's doing his little dance right now. Or he did. Now he's just alive and asleep.
That happened
in the room.
A while, like 2 years ago almost.
Yep. And then we still have other articles coming up from Matt. Apparently he wrote a wonderful article in Doctor Who to piss me off. And I'm very curious to read that.
All right.
And that will be coming out at some point here. And
I'm also at some point going to write a whole long thing about 50 Shades of Grey. I keep trying to start it. And, you know, it's really hard to write stuff with the pandemic happening, so I'm trying to get to it. I've seen all the movies, I've written my notes, I just need to compile them into my it's going to be a pretty long article about 50 Shades of Grey and exactly why they're bad BDSM, and because I'm trying to write it for people who really don't know much about BDSM. They've just seen these movies, and I want to explain to them why, you know, you should do something else
then watch these movies.
learn something. Here's what you like. I want to take, like, here's what this movie says, here's what the truth is, you know. So
anyhow, we've been just rambling now for a while, so I should probably just say goodbye
because we don't have anyone else to talk to.
That's true.
We know, like, we have another
social
adult
interaction. Someone who can say more than yes, no, and dada mama.
Hey, he said walrus today.
He did say walrus today.
Oh, what a weird random word.
We were looking at a book, and I got him to say walrus. I was very proud.
Yeah, and I got...
Good, you know?
And then you went for the layup with wins. Orangutan. How'd that go?
He did the syllables. He did the correct syllables.
Dibba-dibba.
Yeah, he couldn't say
orangutan.
It's
not orangutan. Bye.
Bye.
Miss you, Emily. Have a great quarantine.